Media Education Foundation. His forthcoming book is titled War Made Invisible: How America Hides the Human Toll of Its Military Machine. A belated happy birthday to Tammy Warnoff. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a digital fellow. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Teresena, Tammy Warnoff, Tarina Ndura, Sam Alkoff, Tamer Astudio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen Honey, Masood, Sanji Lopez, our executive director, Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell. I'm Amy Goodman.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1. The DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear, way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook. Hey, hey, hey.
And this is WUSB in Stony Brook, where the time is just about 6 o'clock, and time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. Barry. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Amanda Goldstein here with you on this very busy Tuesday afternoon. I'm sorry if I sound a bit flustered. Things are happening kind of quickly. Have you been following the news, Kyle? It's Emmanuel, by the way. That's Kyle over there.
I'm barely keeping up to speed.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, maybe you don't know what's been going on. The last minute or so, or a couple of minutes, some are levels okay, Kyle? Because I'd like for people to be able to hear me when I'm talking. Okay, good. You good? Okay, because you're leaning over the board, and I just would like things to be working for once.
I just put a piece of tape there. I want to make sure we had everything perfectly.
Okay. Good, good.
It's dialed in.
Yeah. Okay, so this is this just came off the printer. Former President Donald Trump had always been one to court controversy, but no one could have predicted the events that unfolded on this fateful day in Lower Manhattan. It all started when a group of protesters gathered outside Trump Tower, chanting slogans and waving placards. The atmosphere was tense, with both sides hurling insults at each other, but it seemed like things would eventually fizzle out without any major incident. That was until Trump himself arrived on the scene, accompanied by a small group of supporters. The former president had been uncharacteristically quiet since leaving office, but he had clearly decided that this was an opportunity to make a statement. As soon as Trump appeared, the atmosphere turned electric. His supporters cheered him on, while the protesters hurled abuse and insults. The police, who had been keeping a watchful eye on proceedings, immediately moved in to prevent any violence from breaking out. However, the situation quickly escalated beyond their control. The protesters began to push forward, trying to break through the police lines and get to Trump. His supporters, emboldened by his presence, began to push back. The police struggled to maintain order as the two sides clashed, with rocks and bottles flying through the air. In the midst of the chaos, Trump himself was shoved to the ground, but he quickly regained his footing and continued to goad the protesters. It was at this point that the police made the decision to arrest Trump. They moved in, pushing back the protesters and taking the former president into custody. His supporters were incensed, shouting and screaming as he was led away in handcuffs. The media had been present throughout the entire incident, capturing every moment on camera. Images of Trump being arrested were quickly beamed around the world, causing a sensation. The internet was ablaze with discussion and debate, with some people hailing Trump's arrest as a victory for justice, while others condemned it as an attack on free speech. As the dust settled, it became clear that the incident had far-reaching consequences. Trump's arrest had galvanized his supporters, who felt that he had been unfairly targeted by the authorities. Protests and demonstrations broke out across the country, with some even turning violent. Meanwhile, the authorities faced intense scrutiny over their handling of the situation. Questions were raised about whether Trump should have been allowed to attend the protest in the first place, and whether the police had done enough to prevent the situation from spiraling out of control. In the end, Trump was released from custody without charge, but the incident had left a lasting mark on the political landscape. Many felt that the former president had gone too far in his attempts to remain in the public eye, and that his arrest was a sign that the authorities were no longer willing to tolerate his behavior. For others, however, Trump's arrest was seen as a clear example of the government's overreach and a warning of what could happen to anyone who dared to challenge the status quo. Whatever your view on the incident, there was no denying that it had been a momentous day in the history of the United States.
Okay, that's not real, is it?
But what makes you say that, Kyle? It has all the ingredients of the news day today. So
I think a computer wrote that.
Well, of course, a computer wrote that. Computers write everything these days. So yes.
So you let me guess. Let me guess what the scenario is. Something about protesters and Trump being arrested. Write
the
a story.
The computer could
about,
have guessed a lot faster.
Yeah. Well, it's not my job.
I asked for 500 words, a story about Trump being arrested in Lower Manhattan with protesters and counter protesters and the media on hand. This is what it came up with. I think it's not bad. You know,
it's succinct.
In a split second, all of this spat onto the computer, onto the printer. And that when I said this just came over the printer, it did just come over the printer right before I came into the room.
That's very honest of you.
Well, you know, I didn't have another story that I was hoping to read about Trump actually getting arrested. Because apparently he lied about that. It's just, you can't make this up. Basically, over the weekend, Trump announced that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. Here's the thing. You can't just request to be arrested on a certain day. You don't get that decision. But he decided that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. I think maybe in his mind, if I can just take a very scary walk through his mind, Saw that there was a schedule of grand jury testimony on Monday, and then they were free after that. And so I guess he figured that, okay, as soon as they hear everything, immediately they're going to want to arrest me because of what they heard. You know, other people would say, you know what, maybe they're not going to arrest me, or maybe they'll take a week to think about it. But no, he figured they're going to arrest me immediately. And so he announced that. And not only did he announce that, but he claimed that it was a leak from the district attorney's office, which basically led all the Republicans who do whatever he says to condemn the district attorney for leaking this information, which they had no connection to at all. And then go after the district attorney, go after the guy, which, you know, you law and order Republicans out there, what is going on? You know, when a prosecutor investigates somebody, you don't investigate the prosecutor because you don't like the fact that they're investigating the guy. You know, if a crime is charged, then you fight that. You know, you maintain innocence. If there has been any kind of misbehavior on the part of the prosecutor, you take that up when the charges are actually filed, when the case actually goes to court, when the decisions have been made. That is how it works. But what they're doing, they're saying Rand Paul today said that the district attorney should be in jail. He said he should be arrested for the crime of investigating former President Trump. I mean, it's just insane to see how these people will just do whatever Trump wants them to do without question. And in this particular case, if you had asked just a couple of questions, you would have realized there's really nothing here. There's no actual evidence that this is going to happen. It's probably going to happen, yes. And nobody's happier about that than me, but it didn't happen today. Might not happen until later in the week, maybe even not this week. But if it does happen, he won't be in court until next week. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to know these things. These are just basic facts. It doesn't, you don't just snap your fingers and have it all play out the way that you imagine it will. So Trump has been trying to get people to show up and demonstrate and do another January 6th. What's interesting is, people aren't really doing that. You know, even the people that are on his side, they're not really that enthused about doing that again. And I applaud that. I applaud actually thinking for yourselves and realizing, yeah, you know what? This guy is not doing anything for me. Why should I risk everything for him? And I welcome people who may have taken some time to come to that realization. But if you get there, that's the important thing. Because trust us, this guy comes from New York, and New York is very honest with how we judge people, especially people who come from here. And he does not have the interest of anyone else, you know, whether it's other New Yorkers, whether it's other Americans, whether it's other members of his family, doesn't care about them at all. Just himself, he will do whatever he has to, and you know, try and get as much money as possible and try and get as much privilege as possible. Try to hurt anyone he considers to be his enemy, which is a growing list of people. The story continues.
Yeah, it's like a media stunt to get people to start echoing and talking about him and his problems. But, and of course, while he cries about victimhood and, you know, all the people other than him that have caused his problems, of course, you know, projecting all of his grievances. And I mean, people are just, it's played out. It's tired. You come talking that you out yourself right away to anyone you talk to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, to compel people to come to your aid and in a situation like this, after having done very similar things to great political effect and scream about things being politicized about your problems, just it rings so hollow now for me. I the more I heard about this, I was like, this doesn't sound like a story. There's no details. There's nothing. You wouldn't expect anything to come from.
It's like a mic check.
Where an investigation or a jury.
Want to see
like
if
that.
Anybody hears you. And that's what he was doing. Just saying, anybody hear me out there? I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. Can you show up? And they didn't really show up. And in fact, this headline here, I love this headline. Trump warns of arrest, calls for protest, but online support is muted. And the on-street support is pretty muted as well. In all caps, he said, protest, take our nation back. We must save America. Protest, protest, protest. All caps, all of it, all caps. Those are two posts. He was posting incessantly on his Truth Social network, Twitter imitation thing, which is really, really hard to navigate and figure out and find anything that isn't insane.
Yeah, all the reporting was of this behavior, right? Someone having an episode on their bespoke social media network. And it just puts into, like, it could be anything, and the media just has to go to the next commercial break, the mainstream channels, and so they ask their stupid question to keep you hanging on to something that you shouldn't have to solve, or that is, you know, stating the obvious in the question rhetorically. So it just turned it into, should the Justice Department, or should this, and are we blah blah blah, you know, just more questions for the sake of, you know, just keeping some errant idea floating around in the airtime. And and it just continued on until I think the next cycle.
Well, 3 days after his desperate pleas, online support for public protest remains unfocused, disorganized, and muted. And that's according to experts who monitor far-right extremists online, which must be an awful lot of fun. Rather than organizing protests, prominent Trump supporters online are instead driving a different narrative that any public events are a trap set by law enforcement, and that attending any events will be counterproductive and will likely result in protesters being arrested. Imagine that. So don't show up. I happen to disagree. I think if you object to something, yeah, show up and protest, but don't be idiots about it and cause violence and destruction and all kinds of things that will make arrest much more likely.
But don't be so naive that you might not end up hanging around people that are doing that kind of thing. Depending on the protests, what kind of crowd is actually showing up.
Yeah.
You can't know what other people will do.
In one pro-Trump channel on the encrypted messaging service Telegram, which is devoted to the QAnon conspiracy, that channel, not Telegram, a moderator asked the channel's 212,000 subscribers whether they would protest if Trump was arrested today. Overwhelmingly, the comments in response, almost 2,000 of them, were in the negative. There is no point in playing into their hands. The rioters will be paid back. The rioters will be paid bad actors, not Trump supporters. We know what is coming. On Trump's social media site, Truth Social, a British far-right provocateur, Paul Joseph Watson, polled his 218,000. Why do they always have over 200,000 followers? Why don't we have 200,000 followers? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean,
we make more sense. We're funnier. I mean, whatever.
A lot of that stuff is inflated.
Yeah. You're saying we could just make the numbers go higher?
I think our integrity has less, pumping of subscriber numbers from, you know, farms of services that do that.
Huh.
I mean, think about it. The bigger those social media numbers get, you got to start to wonder, are these people that popular? There are a lot, but no confusion there, but don't just believe it just because it's, you know, it doesn't that they may be going for the credibility associated with that many subscribers.
Well, anyway, the question on that Truth Social page was, is the potential protest against Trump being arrested a J6 style trap? Of the 1,580 responses, 85% voted yes. And on Twitter, Ali Alexander, one of the main pushers of the Stop the Steal movement, which claimed the 2020 election was actually won by Trump, warned his more than 175,000 followers, so he's a little less than everyone else. If you protest in New York City, you will be in the single most hostile jurisdiction in the United States. There is no law and order. You have no liberty or rights there. You will be jailed or worse. Yeah, because people are prosecuted for their crimes in New York City, they are portraying it as there is no law and order. No, this is not the kind of law and order you want. You're not getting away with the crimes that you want to get away with.
Big, scary New York.
It's kind of crazy how that comes about. Hmm. This is really going to turn out badly on so many levels for Trump. I mean, being arrested, being charged with a crime, being hauled into court, having your fingerprints taken, and then not having people show up and protest against that action that was taken against you. Just have your own sad crew of people saying the same old thing that fewer and fewer people believe.
Just the more I hear it, it's just like, it sounds like your problems, dude.
Well, let's do what we can to make sure.
I got enough, you know? People are busy. Mm-hmm. They got lives. They got a lot to do. And, you know, they got enough issues. They don't need to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, go handle your business and leave us alone.
Yeah, if only. If only it could happen. As mentioned, Senator Rand Paul, if you don't know, Republican of Kentucky, today suggested that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg should be put in jail amid anticipation that former President Trump could be hit with an indictment today as prosecutors probe payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels during Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Just think about the mentality behind that. You know, you have this guy looking into something that is admittedly illegal, something that anyone else would be charged with as well. In fact, the fact that he wasn't charged for all this time, that's the miscarriage of justice right there. But think of the line of thought that this creep in Kentucky goes through to say, yeah, this district attorney, this black guy that dares to charge King Trump, he has to be arrested immediately for doing his job because he doesn't understand that there are certain people who are untouchable and there are certain things that he should never be saying. You know, he's going beyond his reach here. It's really disgusting, and seeing some of the coded statements too, basically are saying that George Soros is funding this. I mean, that is, in case people don't know, that's an anti-Semitic trope, and the reason why that's the case is because, well, George Soros is from a Jewish background. It's long been the case that Jews are blamed for everything that goes wrong in government, in banking, in entertainment, and all sorts of things they basically are targeted for. It's anti-Semitism 101. So if there's a conspiracy against you, it's the Jews that are causing it. So you pick this one guy who's like, rich and supposedly the evil money behind all this. And that paints the picture. Now, is there any truth to George Soros backing the district attorney, Alvin Bragg? No, because what George Soros did was back Democrats, back the Democratic Party. And, that's like many other people do. He has a lot of money. Yeah, he gave them a lot of money. They distribute the money as they see fit. You know, he probably doesn't even know who Alvin Bragg is, or Alvin Bragg probably had no awareness that money from him would eventually find its way to him. So to say that is disingenuous, to say the least.
Yeah, one of the other disingenuous things I heard was the restraint that you mentioned earlier of previous people in his position looking at this and not doing anything while the former president was in office. The excuse from a lot of senators and politicians was that this was not the time to do this. You have to process and handle this outside of office. And now outside of office, it's being brought up as an excuse, or there those that restraint under that previous excuse is now flipped, and it's used as an example. Well, they didn't look at this. Well, at the time they said one other thing. Now they're saying, well, it, of course, looking back, they didn't do this. Well, that means now it shouldn't be looked at, when that's the complete opposite and why it was delayed in the first place, because this alleged payment occurred during the campaign, right up before the election, through his personal attorney and fixer. So it's just disingenuous all the way around. There's a lot of talking points like that I've been hearing today and yesterday a lot. It's just been a fervor of people just jumping on to try to reframe history and recharacterize this and make news out of this grievance and this complaint of and basically just the same stuff he used to do on Twitter, right?
Well, the almost universal response from Republicans is that this is a political prosecution.
That's, you know, the other thing. Is it politicized or not? Yeah.
And well, I mean, if you look at the political aspects of this, what do you call Republicans demanding that a district attorney appear before them to answer questions because of who he chose to prosecute?
Yeah, I heard that. That's so laughable. They want to come and yell at him and turn that into the media.
Because because he is prosecuting their guy,
yeah,
their political guy, they want to punish him. Rand Paul says, put him in jail. You know, Lee Zeldin is still slinking around out there. We're not rid of him yet, but he's still out there saying stupid things. And the stupidest thing that I heard him say in the last 24 hours, I should have checked the last 20 minutes, actually. But what he said, which was particularly ignorant, was that he needs to be fired now. Alvin Bragg. And this is the same kick that he's been going on ever since his ill-fated run for governor. People who are elected should be fired by other people in government. So he thinks, in his little Mussolini manner there, he can just go in, or somebody can just go in and remove this guy, even though he was elected by the people. Because the people's vote apparently doesn't matter in the world of Lee Zeldin and Rand Paul and, of course, Donald Trump. You know, did you look at the election results? This is in 2021 when Alvin Bragg was voted in as Manhattan district attorney. He received 83.2% of the vote. 83.2%. The Republican candidate received 16.7%. And Lee Zeldin wants to remove him. it's not even a question of close elections. It's a question of overwhelming mandates. And you think you could just waltz in there and remove somebody because you don't like who they are charging with crimes. It's just, it's sickening. It's sickening to see this kind of corruption, this level of just...
It's manifestly backwards.
Yeah.
Craven and wrong. Unethical. Completely un-American.
Even if you completely disagree with what's happening here, you let the system play out. That's what everyone always says. I look forward to vindicating myself. And, you know, you respect the rule of law. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people I know get prosecuted unfairly. But I've never called for the prosecutors to be thrown in jail. I've always called for vigorous defense. I've called for publicizing things and letting people know the true facts. I've referred to prosecutors and district attorneys as being wrong, ignorant, ill-advised, etc. And all of that is nothing compared to what Republicans are doing right now. And the charges haven't even been filed. They haven't even said they're going to file charges. This is all because Trump said, "Oh, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday, so let's start the revolution." Yeah, it's it's telling. It's so telling. It really illustrates who these people are.
This is a perfect case for them to get this worked up over, though. I'm after a while, I had a better sense of humor and relaxed a little bit. Realized, of course, these are not our problems, and they can get crazy and furious about this. And I think it's a great distraction from when things really get serious, if You know, there are other cases that, I mean, this, I kept saying, this isn't even Georgia.
No, no. But, you know, how do you think this affects the campaign that's about to be unleashed? You have DeSantis, you have Nikki Haley, if you want to believe that, running for the Republican nomination. And then you have Trump, who insists that he is going to be the Republican nominee. I think they're all afraid to just say what is, I'm giving them credit, what's on their minds, that this guy is a complete waste of time and very bad news. They all have to condemn this district attorney. They all have to say this guy is out of control, needs to be stopped, even though it hurts them to prop Trump up and to support him in any way. And what's incredible about this, this is only one case. This is only the case in New York City. There's still what happened in Georgia. You know, there is still the attempt to get all the votes, to steal votes. There are still the willful taking of secret documents. I say willful as opposed to accidental. He is not out of the woods, even if this goes away. And I don't think this is going away. And there's more in New York, too. There's more in New York.
So, yeah.
Yeah, how much time Obama has spent in court since he left office?
Yeah, so Trump's looking for new dupes, and his old ones are mad and don't care either. What else you got?
Well, I mean, this is most of it, really, because that's just so much. Demonstrators who won a Donald Trump indictment for far outnumbered MAGA supporters this morning outside the Manhattan Criminal Court, where the former president was expected to be charged. They're saying now as early as Wednesday. This is what the news is saying, not what Trump is saying. The pro-indictment protesters gathered in front of the building where Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is investigating Trump over a hush money payment made to Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential campaign. No one is above the law, a group of about 20 demonstrators chanted. Alvin Bragg, do your job, they yelled. And they outnumbered the pro-Trump people. Wow, there's only 20 of them. Yeah, across the street from the anti-Trump rally, five supporters of the former. Why am I even reading this?
I'm telling you.
Only 25 people showed up on both sides, and 20 of them were against Trump.
People don't want to talk about this. Just keep your heads down.
Wow.
Don't out yourself. If you're with this, just clock in, put your feet up. Mm-hmm. Get on with your life, because nobody wants to hear about it.
We're going to tell you about it anyway, though. Five supporters of the former president walked around holding signs, including one that highlighted liberal billionaire George Soros's support for Bragg, a common right-wing talking point that we just outlined. Trump has used a $500,000 donation from a political action committee funded by Soros that was part of a nationwide effort to help elect progressive district attorneys. They never finished that sentence. Trump has used a $500,000 donation to make his point, I guess is what they meant to say, which, as we explained before, was a general fund, was not directed at Alvin Bragg. Trump supporter Philippe Lejeune said, I wish more people had shown up. that's so sad. That's the only quote you gave that person. By the afternoon, a few more pro-Trump protesters arrived outside the courthouse, including one man dressed like the QAnon shaman who was riding a bicycle. You know, props to him. That must have been hard. That must have been a difficult ride. I hope he was wearing a helmet.
Wait, is that's like a cover artist?
The newcomers engaged in shouting matches with pro-indictment demonstrators, but the tension quickly died down. It was not clear if the pro-Trump... This is the best line ever. Not clear if the pro-Trump supporters were sincere or performance artists.
All right, yeah, I was going to say, is it tribute artists?
If you can't tell if the demonstrators that are on your side are performance artists, or if they actually believe in what you're doing, what you're saying, your movement is in trouble. That's really my conclusion from that. Wow. You know, I'm happy this is happening in New York. I feel safe in New York when things like this happen, because, like I said, New Yorkers, we're honest about these things, and we don't take a whole lot of crap. And that is something that happened on Sunday as well. Did you hear about this? The The Proud Boys kind of got their asses handed to them.
I didn't hear about it at all. I think you mentioned something. I didn't read up on it. What was this about? Were they counter-protest? This was in New York as well?
They got wind that there was a drag story hour.
Oh, it's the drag thing.
And they decided to show up and intimidate any kid that was trying to go and see that, you know, or their parents or whatever. And New Yorkers...
They're just jealous.
New Yorkers weren't having it. They're just ignorant.
They don't have any stories.
These are hateful people. They are dangerous people.
Oh, yeah. Quite.
They need to be stopped, and they were stopped on Sunday.
What happened?
Well, there was a protest that took place outside the LGBTQ Community Center in Manhattan's West Village neighborhood. I mean, how stupid are you to show up and protest against drag queens or, you know, anyone in the LGBTQ community in the West Village of New York City? How stupid are you? Do you know anything? Do you know that's where the entire movement began? I mean, really? I have to wonder sometimes. These poor people. They just keep leading themselves into horror shows. New York Attorney General Letitia James was hosting a drag story hour event. Yeah. We go right to the top. She was hosting a drag story hour event with drag performers reading children's books to kids and their families. Now, drag has deep historical ties to the LGBTQ community, and the center is just a short walk away from the iconic Stonewall Inn, which is arguably the birthplace of the modern LGBTQ rights movement. Now, a video posted on Twitter by a journalist affiliated with the local media site freedomnews.tv shows a protester wearing a gold anonymous mask being apprehended by police. Police spokesperson confirmed in an email that the masked man was arrested and charged with assault because he approached the victim and struck him in the face. That victim, quote unquote, was apparently a member of the Proud Boys. Yes, and the Proud Boy guy was quoted as saying, "I came here to help, not get the S beat out of me." then you shouldn't have gone in there wearing a Proud Boys shirt or jacket because that's not welcomed in New York. It's like wearing a swastika to a synagogue.
Well, and look at the language. He says to help. He's speaking to only his crowd, right? In their view, it's their idea of help. They're not welcome.
No, not there to help anybody that wants to be there.
No, but it's just an attempt to twist language and train your soundbite.
Let's see. We have another quote here. Counter protesters could be heard in the background. Oh, this hurts. This hurts. Well, I mean, shouting "F the Proud Boys." Okay, that's fine. Go back to Long Island, folks. We've talked about this many times on this show. Long Island has a problem. The results of the last election have proven that Long Island has gone increasingly red, and this is now the image that we have to the rest of the world: the home of the Proud Boys, the home of right-wing hatred. Now, you know, in the past, we would make light of Staten Island or New Jersey or places like that, but now it's not funny anymore because it's here, and we have to do something about it. We have to shake that image. We have to get those people out of our elected offices. And, you know, we can do that simply by showing up. There's more people who are blue than people who are red registered in the polls, so if you just show up and vote, these problems go away. Well, actually, the problems don't go away because the ugliness is still out there, but it's not encouraged as much. You don't have, you know, the Lee Zeldins egging you on because they don't have power anymore. So it's so important. And this goes for local races. This goes for school board elections. This goes for the big elections as well. Every single one counts. And it basically also counts in day-to-day life where you see nonsense being spouted. You challenge it. You don't just accept it, because then it becomes normal. And now it's normal to say, go back to Long Island to right-wing thugs and hate mongers.
Yeah, that's tragic. I mean, that they that isn't how it doesn't reflect the experience most people have out in this part of New York, and that can kind of set if you don't counter it. And great reporting, and like you said, community response, people notifying others about these things happening, like incidents at events like this, or groups like this trying to infiltrate and get involved in ways that the community actually is not interested in. You know, people can have their privately held beliefs and stuff, but dropping in on things and
well, I mean, think about this. Just think about what's intimidate. Going on. What's going on here is basically you have these people trying to inject themselves into an event that other people want to be a part of. It's not like they're bursting into your home and forcing your kids to go to drag story hours in various libraries. But if they decide they want to do that, they are welcomed. And that to these people is a hazard. It's some kind of a danger. It's something they need to stop. And it's just so wrong and so unhealthy. And I, you know, you pretend to care about kids. What does this do to kids to see that kind of anger, to see that kind of hatred? Now,
yeah. What alternative are you showing young people either? This is the role model. This is the behavior. Violent masculinity is what young people need.
And who stops that?
To grow and to learn.
Who is it protesting against the violent masculinity that is underlined all the time in our culture? You know, that is the norm.
It would be impressive if there were other examples of how adults behave and how adults tell stories and help grow a community. And this is not healthy.
No. Now, this event was run by an organization called Drag Story Hour NYC, formerly Drag Queen Story Hour NYC. They produce storytelling and creative arts programs for children and teens presented by local drag artists in libraries, schools, and other community spaces in all five boroughs of New York City, and virtually. Through fun and fabulous educational experiences, their programs celebrate gender diversity in all forms of difference to build empathy and give kids the confidence to express themselves however they feel comfortable. I want to play just some words from them so you can hear that in their own words. Their website is dshnyc.org for Drag Story Hour NYC, dshnyc.org. Let's listen.
I want to tell you a story.
I want to tell you a story.
I want to tell you a story.
A story about someone you love.
Or someone you've never met.
Someone real.
Or made up.
Or somewhere in between.
But first,
I want to tell you a story about us. Stories are how we discover our values, ourselves,
and the world beyond.
Stories weave the fabric of community
that brings us together.
Through storytelling and creativity, we teach kids about gender diversity and difference in all of its wonderful forms.
Building empathy and giving kids the confidence to express themselves.
Welcome to Drag Queen Story Hour NYC.
We're a nonprofit organization providing a range of fun and fabulous educational experiences for children and teens ranging from 3 to 18.
In English y Español.
We pop up in libraries,
schools, museums,
and community spaces across all five boroughs of New York City.
And even here with you virtually.
Empathy is built through experience.
And no experience is quite like this.
So take an hour, grab someone you love, and join us.
Drag Queen Story Hour NYC.
Opening hearts and minds.
One story at a time.
Wow. There was a video attached to that, which you can see if you go to dshnyc.org. But they're such happy kids there, and I just can't think of a more positive environment. And just to think of all the crap they have to deal with, you know, it's such a travesty. But good on New York for fighting back, driving these people out. Don't drive them back to Long Island. They don't come from Long Island, I hope.
Man, drive themselves.
Yeah, a lot of them do come from Long Island, unfortunately. Yeah, if you know somebody like that on Long Island, educate them, but try to. Do the best you can. Again, their programs take place at libraries, schools, museums, festivals, parks, block parties, bookstores, play spaces, workplaces, cultural and community institutions, and that's all around the city. I'm sure we have an organization like that on Long Island. If I find a website for them, I'll certainly talk about that as well. But in 2021, the New York City group produced 67 in-person programs, 141 virtual programs. They served 863 children in person, thousands more virtually. And most of their programs are free to attend, which is amazing.
So crucial to talk to people about, you know, your experiences and what the benefits of this kind of activity is in an educational and exposure and socializing to different ideas and learning, and people that don't understand that should, you know, they should be confronted, but use humor, talk, you know, have a sense of humor, talk where they're at with their understanding of it or hysteria, and try to be empathetic to what kinds of misinformation and crazy exaggerations that are made about this kind of programming.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, the exaggerations, just the way things are presented. Even in the mass media, they don't even get it right. It's so simple. You just attend one of these things, you will see what they're all about. But to say that it's about sexualization of anything, no, it's about dressing up. You know, Milton Berle used to dress up. back in what, the 50s? There's different reasons people dress up, okay? And it's not something that is harmful to children in any way. I just saw they're running repeats of King of the Hill. There was an episode of that where Bobby the kid is dressing up as a girl to be a cheerleader on the football team. And all the guys are doing it because it's a tradition. And Hank Hill, you know, his dad, the most conservative guy that you could imagine, is basically saying this doesn't hurt anybody. In fact, the episode was mostly attacking liberal views, which it tends to do, of being overly sensitive, saying this might offend a woman or something like that. But in actuality, it didn't affect anybody. Nobody was complaining. Nobody was hurt. So, you know, there's both ways you can look at this and realize that what they are doing is turning this into something that it's not. It's just fun. It's positive. It's something that opens up people's minds and allows them to be themselves. And it's under attack everywhere in the country. In fact, some parts of the country, it's under attack so much worse than just seeing some pathetic demonstrators at these shows spouting white supremacy and all that, then being chased out of town. It's not like that in Tennessee. In Tennessee, they have what's known as a Republican supermajority. When you have a Republican supermajority, that's like stage four of a disease. It's I'm sorry, but it is because of what they are doing, the hatred that they are passing. Over the first 3 months of this year, this supermajority in Tennessee has basically fashioned the alarmist narrative about trans use. It served as a backdrop for defiance of transphobia that is necessary now, that has found its way into a bunch of restrictive legislation. Lawmakers have been pushing through a sweeping collection of bills that crack down not only on drag shows, but may imperil the performing careers of singers and instrumentalists who don't do drag at all, but happen to be non-binary or transgender or gender non-conforming, while also eroding the rights of trans youth, adults, and their families in crucial education and healthcare matters.
See, that's the chilling knock-on, like, cascading effect of exaggerating it, and then it just turns into this echo chamber of something that it isn't. Mm-hmm. and then embroils all these other people that can themselves, you know, gain a lot of being active and having purpose in this way. If you've seen performances like this, it can be incredibly empowering for people that are marginalized and don't often get that kind of adulation and support and recognition. And I can't believe, it is expanding the more it is demonized and made into something it truly isn't.
These are laws. These aren't just crazy bills that people are coming up with. These are being signed into law. One of them denies minors access to gender-affirming health care. That has been known to save lives. A law to ban male and female impersonators from taking the stage on public property or where anyone under 18 could be present. Yeah, just dressing up. Illegal. Illegal if a child sees it. It means Milton Berle will be illegal too. It means Bobby Hill couldn't have done his cheerleading gig. Basically, what they do is they categorize drag as sexually explicit adult entertainment that's harmful to minors, which it is not. Now, on top of those measures, Republican lawmakers are now advancing a bill that will further limit drag because that wasn't good enough for them, requiring performers to obtain permits. Those performers that are able to perform behind closed doors for adults only, they have to get a permit. Now you have to be registered with the government. Yeah. There's another allowing government employees to refuse to solemnize same-sex marriage on the basis of religious beliefs. What, solemnize?
I guess that's a legal term, but in granting a license.
It's protected nationwide, yet somehow they're finding ways to prevent people from basically enjoying their rights. Third bill that would legally define gender as a male-female binary prescribed by a person's anatomy at birth. Still under consideration is another bill that would prevent insurance companies that cover gender transition treatment anywhere in the U.S. from working with Tennessee's Medicaid program known as TennCare. It's sickness. It's hatred. It's a disease that is spreading through these Republican lawmakers. And if you think it's going to stop with the trans community, you are sorely mistaken and you're not paying attention. And Tennessee is hardly the only state where Republicans are putting up such obstructions around the lives of LGBTQ residents. It's become a national obsession among conservatives. There's similar bills in Kentucky, Arkansas, Florida, Utah, South Dakota, Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota, Montana, Oklahoma, Georgia, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Missouri, Ohio, West Virginia, Texas. It's sickening. And this is with Democrats in power. This is what's happening in this country. The states are losing their minds.
They're having their war. They're declaring war on people that they think they can use, victimize, scapegoat as a political wedge.
Some wars are justified to embark upon. You know, the war in Ukraine is completely justified to fight back against the Russian atrocities and to support those people however much as we possibly can. And this here at home, it's another war of the sort that we need to throw everything into to fight these people. It's not just some theoretical ideology that they're pursuing. They are killing people. Do this. Go to Google News. Just type the word trans into the subject. And you'll see most of the stories that you get back are about killings or about something horrible that happened to not just one person, but many people. Do some research. See what is actually happening out there. And ask yourself, why are these people so obsessed with this? Well, it's not just this. This is the starting point. One of a few. Abortion is another one. And they're not going to stop there. In Wyoming, the governor has signed a bill, or signed a law, making it illegal to have abortion pills now. Where do you think it's going to go from there? Where do you think it's going to go after trans people? They will keep moving against the interest of so many people in this country. And like I said, it's a sickness. It needs to be fought hard. And it's, I think in that particular way, Long Island can serve as a warning. Because if you don't show up and vote, if you don't take an interest, then those people win. They take over. And then you wind up being known as the home of the Proud Boys. And you wind up not recognizing the place you grew up in. And I'm just speaking of one place. There are so many other places in this country that are going through similar things, or entire states.
We know there's good people out there, too.
Oh, I know that, for sure.
Friends and people that think the same way, but also people that you disagree with that are not at this level.
Yeah, even good people that are on the other side that we need to talk with, because I don't think they want to hurt people the way that these actions are hurting people, but they are being lied to. Just like, you know, Trump lied to them this week.
Or they're facilitating it.
Just like they've been lied to so many times. So you have to have a dialogue. You have to question yourself. You have to talk to those people who are different from you. Wish it could be happier. Well, it will be happier. Trump will get arrested and then we'll all be cheering. it'll be a wackiness one way or another. But either way, we'll be back next week with another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Please continue to listen. Please continue to support WUSB. We have Giving Day coming up. That is on March the 29th.
Woohoo!
Yeah, all undergraduate alumni from Stony Brook University. All your pledges will be matched on March 29th.
This is equal matching. Yeah. So write the date down. This is actually also the official kickoff of the Spring Radiothon here at WUSB.
That's correct. You go to WUSB.fm. You can donate for Giving Day there. And your support is what makes everything possible.
But if you double up on that day, that makes a huge kickoff, just a big start to the whole thing. So the 29th.
All right, we got to go. Finn is up next. We will see you next week. Good night.
Bye, everybody.
I bought a brand new airmobile. It was custom made. It was a lightly feel with a powerful motor and some hideaway wings. Pushing on the button and you can hear her sing. Now you can't catch me. No, baby, you can't catch me. Cause if you get too close, you know I'm gonna like a cougar.
like a coup.
WUSB, Stony Brook.